Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Heathen Weirdos Podcast. We are back for season two. Our first episode this season is actually something that's really cool and something that a lot of people don't always hear about. Or if they do, it's a lot of misinformation. So we're going to be talking a bit about Baneful Magic, what it is, what it isn't, any basics you might want to know before trying, things that you don't want to try, and a little bit of our own experiences with it. So we've actually got a special guest with us today, too. So let's get into introducing ourselves. I'm Jay. My pronouns are she, her.
I'm Theo. My pronouns are they, them.
And I'm Verdant. My pronouns are they, them as well.
All right. So let's start off with me opening up the document real quick.
Fair. I mean, to be fair, I opened the document when you invited the bears in.
I had it open before that because I added a couple of things.
I mean, so like, in the vast majority of my first chunk of pagan life, I practiced with some family who were not Wiccans, but had a lot of Wiccan ideas. Like, the threefold law. And, like, so it was, like, drilled into me that I should never do baneful magic. Ever. And, like, I mean, okay, sure, but, like, it took me, like, many, many years, over 10 years, to, like, even start thinking about doing it.
All right, so let's take one step back and let's actually define what baneful magic is. So we all know me, I always start with the really boring, dry academic definition when I do this. So baneful magic is any spell, ritual, or technique that is used in a way that is harmful, whether it be mentally, physically, emotionally, or spiritually to the subject of the magic. And that's the definition from Llewellyn.com. So for me, that's basically it. It's a spell that's created to cause any sort of quote-unquote negative reaction to a target. Doesn't always have to be, like, super malicious. You know, usually when people hear baneful magic, they think, like, painful or, you know, causing them, like, severe psychic harm or...
death hexes.
Exactly. Things like that. There are some great, really subtle ones, and we'll get into those later, because I have some fun ones.
So I pretty much agree with that Llewellyn definition, with the addition of intentionally harmful, because, like, there are times where you can do something that you are trying to be, like, you're not trying to hurt the target, but it just kind of works out that way because you didn't, like, think through the progression of how it is. So specifically, it's intentionally harmful.
I think that's a really good distinction because, like, I've seen a lot of love spells hurt people really badly.
Yep. On accident, but you can also use love spells to hurt people on purpose. And yes, I have.
One of my favorite stories of yours. I love that story.
We'll get to that one.
Yeah. And a quick throw in here is words that you'll hear when talking about baneful magic. You'll hear jinx, you'll hear hex, you'll hear curse. Jinxes usually are things that are more annoyances. They're lower level. Think of literally when you would say something at the same time as someone else, jinx, you owe me a Coke. It's just kind of like, it's something small. It's something little.
This would be, may you always step on the melted ice cube.
Right. Things like that. And we're going to get into
those. Wearing socks.
Yes. Step on every Lego that you find barefoot.
May your sock always be wet. Like, that's a
that's
jinx.
So mean. Yeah.
It is, but, like, it's just simple. An annoyance. They're very, very simple.
One that I've heard, and this is a little gross, I suppose, someone was like, yeah, okay, if you're going to be that way, may all of, like, every single time you poop, may your finger break through the toilet paper.
That's a great example. Of a jinx.
Yeah.
Like, that's one that's definitely, like, you know, it's just just a little, it's right. gross it's, and kind of ruins their day, but like nothing, it's not like actually gonna like ruin their life, just their day.
As long as they fucking wash their hands.
They right. better fucking wash their hands.
That would be on them. If they don't wash their
them.
Hands.
If they don't, that's on them.
So then yeah. you get to curses. Curses are things usually that are a little bit longer lasting, that step up from jinx. So things, you know, a curse for bad luck, a long line of bad luck, or, you know, little thing again, little things, but longer lasting, a little bit more intense than a jinx. Like I said, I use the bad luck one a lot. That's an easier quote unquote one. And you could be more specific with the bad luck in job, bad luck in finances. I have used bad luck in love for exes when I was younger. Things like that. But then you get into hexes. Hexes are the big fucking deals, the big fucking guns, basically. And those can be anything from physical harm, property damage, all the way up to madness, all the way up to life and limb.
I've managed to get somebody sent, put on a 72-hour hold with a hex before, and that was great.
Support you.
This entire conversation is just a proof to never mess with Verdant.
Don't do it. Or anyone Verdant cares about.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Me and mine, just leave them alone, because I will come for your shit.
Yeah.
And that includes the server, my servers. So, like, any server I'm staff on, if you fuck with anyone on there, have fun.
In the show description links, I will drop a link from another really awesome creator, Hearthwitch. She actually did a whole video on the differences between jinxes, hexes, and curses. So that's a really good resource, especially if you're just starting to learn about Baneful. So now going into, should you actually do Baneful working? And Theo was talking earlier about the whole basis.
The threefold law.
Right, threefold law. Law karma. Karma, things like that. There is nothing wrong with believing them if that is part of your beliefs. And so often they will not do that because it is something that causes people harm. Now, that also ends up being a discussion of what do they consider harm, but that's neither here nor there in this conversation.
Yeah, there's a lot of ethics that could get into that one.
Right. Eventually, we are going to do an ethics episode, so that definitely could pull in there. So I know, Theo, you were talking about it with the family that you had started practicing with. Mm-hmm. And it was the threefold law that they had, like, as their big thing, why they didn't do that, right?
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, did you not hear me?
No, we heard you.
Oh, we heard
sorry.
You.
We just got quiet. I was like, meow. Oh, elaborate? Do it. What?
You can elaborate.
I mean, oh, that's really about it. Like, threefold law. Don't do it. You'll be cursed forever and shit. You'll get... Okay, so this is really dramatic. I promise my family's really dramatic, and this is one of the reasons I don't talk to them anymore. Besides that whole queer thing. Compounded issues. They were like, you're gonna get, like, cancer or, like, have a heart attack if you, like, do baneful magic, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, they were, like, hardcore on it.
Oh, they were riding that train.
Oh, my God.
Riding that train real hard. But, yeah, I'm just, like... I mean, now, I guess that's more of a me now in retrospect idea. So I'm just, like, like, I don't want to kill anyone, but, like... What's wrong? They can have shit fingers through us for their lives. It's fine. Like, they started it.
Yeah, see, that's kind of where this one, it feels like forbidden lore for a lot of people, but I was actually a Wiccan for, like, a hot minute.
cool.
That stopped the second Namorigna entered my life. Really not possible to be a Wiccan and work with Namorigna. Not a thing. But I came to decide that even if like there was going to be karmic backlash for hexing, who's to say that I was not? Because typically when I'm hexing somebody, they have hurt me or mine. Like me or the people I care for. So who's to say that I can't be the karmic backlash for the person hurting people? I am merely an agent of karma when I do this. And obviously I'm talking about like the white people bastardized version of karma.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, which is more like dharma. But even then it's not really dharma.
I feel like in the US at least, the vast majority of the time when someone's like, karma will fix it, people are like 100% using the fucking white version of it.
Yeah, because most of us in America talking about it are white people.
Oh my god, yes. Well, and like, yeah, and then they're also smudging with white sage and shit.
Yeah. As if that doesn't have any karmic impact.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Not at all.
Nope. Don't do that. Anyways, by the way, moving kids.
On. So like, should you do Baneful? That's really like a personal opinion. That's ethics about please don't be doing death hexing on like people who unfollowed you on TikTok. Like I've seen some wild shit from Witch Talk.
Witch Talk is a cursed place.
It really is. Witch Talk is a hex upon the internet, honestly.
Yes. Oh God. Who did we piss off?
A lot of people. Moon.
We pissed off the moon and the Fae.
I mean, that tracks.
Oh
no,
God.
I mean, like literally, there was a couple of years ago that Witch Talk hexed the moon.
Yeah, no, I know.
The good neighbors. Mm. So,
just little hint: don't try that.
Just don't.
Why would you hex the moon? What's it done to you?
Right, why would you hex the moon? Like, if we're gonna hex a planet, let's hex Mercury if we're going retrograde.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what the justification was at this point.
I don't know.
Don't actually hex Mercury, please.
True, if we hex Mercury and it backfires, we're all screwed for the rest of the
world. I was gonna say, yeah. Like, you think retrograde's bad now? You just wait.
I was just saying, you know, if we were gonna hex a planet, like a planetary body, let's go for Mercury. Because Mercury does some shit that is fucking obnoxious, but the moon, she's just vibing. But so, should you do Baneful is kind of like something you have to wrestle with your, like, decide on your own ethically. I will say that learning Baneful magic and techniques that are commonly used is a great way to strengthen your own personal protections by looking at, if you're really involved in witchcraft spaces, you should be aware of what other people might try to throw against you so that you can protect against it. No, if you're not pissing off witches, you've not been cursed. I'm just going to get that out of the way now. No, you've not been hexed. Unless you are, like, actually pissing off witches, then maybe.
Lesson to be learned here, don't piss off witches.
No. And also, you've not been cursed if you've not pissed off a witch. Like.
But I definitely agree that learning about Baneful is really important. Because, again, you know, learning how to counteract it, but also learning that because you can use some Baneful techniques in your practice, in your protection practices.
I love me trigger wards. I build hexes into my wards that have like a trigger switch, so it's kind of like a booby trap.
I learned that from you, actually.
Yep.
It's amazing. Yeah,
it's a fantastic technique. They don't do anything unless somebody's trying to fuck with you, and then you know what, they deserve it.
Exactly. So now going to, is Baneful magic beginner friendly? Because, well, we all know that, can I do this if I'm a beginner? Probably, when it comes to Baneful, I'm going to be honest, probably you shouldn't. In fact, if I'll say 98% you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. If you are a beginner, your first steps into the, like, actually doing Baneful magic should be limited to things like little banishings of people, because there's like two different kinds of banishing you'll hear people talk about in occult spaces. There's like banishing of like negative energy and like spirits and stuff, but there's also like banishing of people. And a great like people banishing, super simple, write their name on toilet paper, flush them down the toilet.
So simple.
Perfect for shitty people.
It is so effective and I love it. It's definitely one of my favorites.
So that's something like what, and the other kind of like beginner friendly, quote unquote, like kind of like in that gray area of what of like baneful would be freezer spells. So a freezer spell, basically it's stopping somebody from doing something. You are freezing them out from doing something to you. However, those can be something that like you can turn into like an actual like hex. You can freeze somebody out of career opportunities, freeze them out of promotions and stuff. You can freeze them out of their love life, out of, you know, if they're trying to buy a house or something, you can freeze somebody out of, like, out of the housing market. So, freezer spells are another one that I would say would be okay to start with and are kind of in that realm. They're like, in a gray area there, along with, like, people banishing.
Yeah. And again, it's... Do it in steps. Do it in baby steps, especially when it comes to something like this. Because, and we have this down here on our notes, and it's a really good thing to remember, there are spell hangovers. Oh, things like baneful magic take extra energy. So it will take more out of you. And there's more room for backfire, too, when it comes to baneful, if you're not careful.
And when we say spell hangovers, like, it really does feel like an actual hangover. You'll have like a headache, you'll be exhausted. Like, they are not a joke and something you need to take very seriously when considering should you do this spell against somebody. Like, you need to be willing to sacrifice like 2 or 3 days because you feel like shit.
And that's where also self-care and aftercare. If you're doing big spells, and this kind of goes across the board, if you're doing any big spells, make sure you've got water by you. Make sure you've got something to eat. Make sure you've got something warm to snuggle up with, or, you know, things like that. It's like anything else.
Baneful magic, definitely, like, one of your first things you want to do for, like, self-care after, like, have a drink, eat a snack. You want to take a shower or bath because you want to wash that shit off of you.
Yeah.
And they're very good for aftercare. They're very good for kind of helping with that spell hangover because you're getting rid of that, like, grossness that is going to cling to you just because it's energy and that's what it does.
If any of you are on our Discord server, shameless plug, you see the emoji we have of the peach taking notes. I can just see Theo doing that right now.
Yeah, Theo definitely has a notepad right now, I'm sure.
I do.
Theo is the embodiment of peach notes.
Yes. I'm not very familiar with baneful magic and I have a lot of ideas. In for clarification on that slightly. I am non-binary. That is why my pronouns are they, them. A lot of people hate it. A lot of people I have to spend a lot of time with. So that's the explanation pretty much all right there. Am I gonna hex them? No.
Right. Jinx, like, them a little.
Jinx the shit out of them. Just like, leave me the fuck alone. Why is respecting a human being so hard? What is my queerness affecting at all with your person and your life? You have to.
Yeah.
Are you telling me you're so, like, you can't learn to use a pronoun slightly differently?
It's
because they're lazy.
That's my rant. In full
disclosure. They're lazy and they want that to be your personal issue.
Yeah, just like, anyways, please, moving on. I am taking lots of notes.
Bit of safety note, too, what I always tell people, especially the beginner practitioners, because on the whole, they're often a little bit younger. They may still be living at home with family. Doing any sort of baneful working against people who you are dependent upon.
Like, the people around your target, they are going to be affected, especially, like, if you're hexing them in terms of their career or money, and they are paying your rent or helping you pay your rent. Because guess what? If they don't have money to pay rent, now you don't have money to pay rent. And so, like, just be really, consider that a lot. The other thing is, if you are considering hexing somebody who is an abuser of you and in a place of power over you, things like hexes and curses are going to cause them frustration in their life. And they are going to be, because they are an abuser, when they get frustrated and angry about their life, they take it out on their targets. So, on their victims. So, you really need to consider that if you're considering hexing an abuser, make sure you are not under their power anymore. Get yourself out first.
And that goes to a quick note. That goes to a quick note too. Please make sure you're coupling this with mundane actions, like we say. Yes. About any sort of magic. Magic is great. It will not solve all your problems. So you do need to do the mundane actions. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Like in a case of someone abusing you in some way, shape, or form, you've got to do the mundane. Go to the authorities. You know, get out of their way if you can. Things like that.
If somebody is verbally abusive and you want to do a freezer spell against them doing that while you work on getting yourself out, you still do need to, like, you should, like, most people who are abuse victims, they know trigger, like, their abuser's triggers. You don't want to go, you know, if your mom is verbally abusive, you don't want to, and you do a freezer spell on her, it's not going to work if you then pick a fight.
Yeah.
So things like a freezer spell are a good way to kind of keep a situation from getting worse while you try to get yourself out, but you still need to keep your head down.
Like, magic isn't gonna fix everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of our big things. Magic is not gonna fix your life. Magic will help you along the way, but it's not gonna fix your life for you.
Yeah. I don't know. That kind of reminds me of Harry Dresden and the Dresden Files, because I'm going to go there. Why not? Like, how Harry Dresden, like, has all these magical things, and he's, like, specifically a wizard who's familiar with, like, battle magic. And he's like, I carry all these things, and also a gun, because it's way more reliable.
Yeah, that's exactly
like, right. Just, you know, just, yeah, that's a good thing to note, though. Anyways.
Now, are there any other questions you have about it, Theo? Since you're not as well-versed in it, it's a great idea. If you have any questions, a lot of our listeners, I always go to say viewers, but all you guys are watching is, like, lighting up of our avatars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's helpful. It's helpful. Sorry. Questions? I mean, so I feel, I'm thinking through it. Because you guys have, like, you know, it's not going to fix everything, which, like, I can't tell you how many times I've had someone ask me magic questions and being like, it's going to fix everything, right? I'm like, no. Most of that's, like, related to mental health stuff, and I'm like, sorry, boo. But and we kind of talked about, like, the splash zone, which makes sense, like, especially if you're, like, within a warded space or something, even without the ward. I just feel like it would keep everything in there with you a little better. Um, I don't think I really do. Like, I feel like we covered a lot. Like, you know, don't just full out hex someone, like, do baby steps. But, like, when would you say, what's a good... what would you guys say is a good point for yourselves personally for being like, all right, we're pulling out the baneful magic?
When someone is causing enough harm to myself or those around me, those I care about, to have a significant effect on them. So if you are causing me severe anxiety, no matter what other actions I have tried, and like you're doing it maliciously, if you're doing it and not understanding it just because you're an idiot, I'm not going to go ahead and hex you or anything. But if you're maliciously doing it, you know it's causing me anxiety, it's causing me some issues, and you're still going on and doing it, you bet your ass I'm doing something to fuck with you. I mean, it's just...
for me, it's very similar to what Jay said. Comes a point where it's like, you are intentionally doing this. Although I will say that just working with Namarikna, and then I also have a very Saturn heavy astrological chart, what I would consider a binding, a lot of people would consider an all out hex. my goalpost is a lot more severe than a lot of other people's. Just comes with the territory of being devoted to a goddess of madness, battle, death, like battle frenzy, and having a highly, highly Saturn heavy natal chart.
A lot of things.
Which is part of why you don't piss me off.
Right. Going back to the original warning.
I was going to say, a lot of things just made a whole lot more sense.
Yeah, yeah, that doesn't it?
The Saturn heavy is like, oh, crap.
Yeah, that's why I was like,
the Saturn heavy makes me go, see, I could do like a freezer spell on your harasser, but like, how about we just cut to the chase and I send him to the psych ward?
Yeah.
Like that's fine. Like I could get him to leave you alone, or I could just kill him. That's fine.
Jesus, Verdun. Okay.
I'm scary.
I respect that. Oh, goodness. So,
fair warning. Do not try and kill people.
Don't do death hexes. They don't work.
Verdun was being hyperbolic.
I was being hyperbolic. But yeah,
you can ruin someone's life, but
absolutely ruin someone's life. But please don't kill them.
Don't try and death
hex people. Murder is not cool.
It's frowned upon in most societies.
It's still murder.
It's still murder. You just can't, like, sure, you can't be prosecuted for it. But like,
just imagine someone trying to turn someone in for a death hex murder.
That would be very funny.
Yeah.
I would love to see that go down on Witch Talk. That would be very funny.
Well, I feel like I've seen, okay, so
don't give them any ideas.
Please. I watch a lot of true crime and listen to a lot of true crime. I feel like I've listened to something where someone tried to turn someone in for a death hex before. And they were like,
yeah, it's probably out there.
Laugh the fuck it's out of the station. Probably out there,
especially in like the Satanic Panic era, in the 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, and I'm not saying like that person actually death hexed the person, like someone else or whatever, in this true crime story. Like, I think it was definitely something else that caused it, but like, yeah,
for sure.
Where it's like, no.
Maybe. It's that little like 10% where you're like, well, maybe, but no.
I mean, it could have.
I mean, maybe, but like, it's not actually going to work. Like,
yeah, I mean, my viewpoint of magic is like, if I was standing in a city And I extended my hand and was like, a rose shall appear in my hand now. And I did something and a rose fell into my hand. Just because the rose fell off a balcony, like, 5 stories up and just happened to land in my hand doesn't mean that it wasn't slightly magical, at least.
The other thing to keep in mind with death hexes is a regular hex takes a lot of power.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody could manage to actually do a death hex that would work without landing themselves in the hospital.
Do you a group death hex? Please don't do that.
Don't maybe. Give us ideas. That would be honestly the only way I could see it working. But I feel like anybody who would actually try to do a death hex
wouldn't do it in a group. Wouldn't tell anybody else.
Would not be able to work well with others. Looking at TikTok, a lot of those people that are death hexing people for unfollowing them clearly would not work well with others.
Yeah. Yeah. Death hexing. Don't do it. It's probably a really dumb idea, okay?
There are much better ways. I would rather my victims suffer. If they die, it's over.
Oh my god. Okay.
It's true, though.
You're not wrong.
How many times is Theo thinking, fuck, don't ever fuck around with birds?
I learned that early on. It's fine.
Theo's my friend.
I have no interest in fucking birds.
Theo's my friend. Theo's one of the people on whose behalf I would hex somebody.
I respect that. Sorry. And appreciate it on a deep and personal level. Mm-hmm. So
now we're at a point.
Go ahead.
So now we're basically at a point. I wanted to have a little fun with this. If we want to say any personal stories about hexes or jinxes or anything like that.
I just want to recommend a book for anybody looking to get for ideas for jinxes. It is called Hexes for the Modern Age by Val Zombie. It's a great coffee table book. And just flipping to a random page in it. There's one that it's shit like, may you contract mono as an adult and be unable to explain where it came from. Welcome back, Theo.
Okay. I was like, did we lose Theo or did we lose one of the bears?
It was Theo. We lost Theo for a hot second.
You were talking and suddenly everything went quiet as I was looking at books on Amazon. Oh, no.
Somebody was looking up that book.
It's a very good book. If you are looking for ideas for jinxes. So definitely. Oh, here's another one. May you continue to find sand in strange places weeks after your vacation.
Yes.
Oh my god, that's amazing. Yeah.
I mean, they're all very great, very great jinxes. It is called hexes, but these are definitely fall into jinxes. They're all very much on the may you step on a Lego may your sock always be wet level.
Oh, I mean, I'm chill with that.
That's amazing. I'm not gonna lie, that's amazing.
So this one's for good for jinxes. Other books I would recommend as the resident expert on baneful magic would be Utterly Wicked by Dorothy Morrison. Very good. There's also Of Blood and Bones by Kate Froiler. And then just because before you start trying to do baneful magic, you need to have really good protections. You need to know how to undo a spell. I typically recommend Protection and Reversal Magic by Jason Miller. Just because his stuff is really, that's a really good book for learning protection magic, for learning how to undo a spell, how to turn things back on people.
I will recommend that book to every practitioner until I die. Because everybody should be,
if you want,
everybody should know how to reverse a spell. There we go.
Yes.
Sorry.
If you want a YouTube channel to watch for ideas, Arabian Conjure is fantastic. She is a professional, like, she's a professional witch. She sells, like, she does spells for people. In fact, my preferred kind of how-to for a freezer spell is from Arabian Conjure.
We can drop a link for that as well in the description.
Absolutely.
So you guys can take a look at that.
I did not just add 3 books to my Amazon cart and also subscribe to someone on YouTube.
Of course. So now let's have some personal stories. I know you've got a whole bunch.
Oh, for sure. Did you want to go ahead and start and then I'll just go? I'll just like rapid fire through them.
I think my favorite one, and some people in our group of friends have seen what it does. I obviously haven't hexed them, but I've hexed people around them. And it's the simplest one, but it is really effective and it's lasting. It lasts a long time. It's the earworm hex. Oh. So we all know what earworms are, correct?
Yes.
The songs that get really easily stuck in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one that will cause you to have an earworm that will not leave until I reverse it. I have used some of the most annoying songs in the world. I have used the song that never ends. That one's great because it really just goes in the loop. I will specify it for certain people. So there was one specific person, Verdant, I think you know who I'm talking about. I put the Pina Colada song in their head for like 6 months. But it had an off switch because they saw the person that was the reason for me to do this. They saw them every couple of weeks. So if they were coming to them, I was able to basically flip an off switch. And then as soon as they were leaving, right back on. So they thought they were finally free of it. And then not so much. And this went on for like 6 months.
I feel like Rickrolling people with the earworm hex would be great too.
Oh, God. Yes.
Jokes on you guys. I like that song.
Well, that's why you pick your song based on your target. I know, like, if you know exactly. Somebody hates that song, that's what you pick.
I know.
It would just be very funny to magically Rickroll people, though.
It would be.
Be great. And I have done a version of basically a hot foot powder, but I've done it with a poppet. And I've done it. So it just, the poppet would live somewhere near me, you know, when I'd get bored or the person was annoying somebody that they were the reason for. Just put a lighter to their foot. And the poppet was actually stuffed with cinnamon and chili powders, a couple rusty nails, things like that. Things that are going to not just burn, but really hurt. And again, it's more, that's not so much a curse. That's more of a hex or somewhere between a hex and a jinx. Because it wasn't all the time. And it wasn't like super painful. It was just like, what the fuck? I caused them to constantly have what the fuck moments for a while. Poppets are great for hexes and curses and jinxes. Because you can literally create an image of this person and do whatever you want to it. Which I know leads into one of Verdant's favorites.
Yes, it does. But something to keep in mind with poppets is, so when people see a poppet, usually what they think of is a voodoo doll. Like the little cloth doll you fill with pins and stuff. Calling it a voodoo doll is specifically like a closed practice. So like, don't do that. It's a poppet. Poppets are actually like, you can find physical symbolic representations of people from basically every culture's occult practices. And poppets can also be used in beneficial magic. So like, they're not always a bad thing. Just a quick like positivity thing in the middle of all this baneful, a really, really easy poppet spell for people that you care about would be like a lift them up poppet. So you make a poppet to represent your friend who's struggling or whatever, and you put them on a bookshelf. And when they're having a hard time, you take them and you put them up on a higher shelf. You lift them up physically.
I love that.
It's very sweet. It's a very sweet spell. But all my favorite way to use poppets is in Baneful Magic. So we're actually going to not get to the poppets for a moment. We're going to do these in order of my escapades with Baneful Magic. So my first hex, I was still kind of a little baby practitioner. I'd only been practicing for a couple of years. I had been devoted to Namorigna for about 6 months at that point. And my boyfriend at the time, he broke up with me. Specifically, he had the weekend before said, you know, he needed to take a break, find himself. He needed to take a break from dating. And like, he had really resisted calling me his partner for the entire time we were together. He kept insisting he wasn't ready for that. Well, like 2 days later, he went to a music festival and met a girl, and she was immediately his girlfriend. So obviously, ugh, I was furious. So I was stupid and I hexed him and I invoked Namorigna, which, let me tell you, don't do that.
Uh-oh, Batman.
If you've only been practicing for a couple of years, do not invoke deities, especially not a deity like Namorigna. One of those deities that, like, I feel like there's a gray area of like what is beginner friendly deity work. I don't think anything with Namorigna is beginner friendly, quote unquote. Please start with a different deity. Hearth deities are far, far better to start with than Namorigna. Don't be me. So I invoked Namorigna for this hex. I was not very specific with it. And like 2 days later, his house got on fire. I did not commit arson physically. I did do some divination, and Namorigna was like, well, you didn't tell me not to burn down his house.
Sounds about right.
So, yes, we refer to that incident as the arson hex. And that was when I learned my lesson about specificity in hexing. You definitely want to be very specific. You don't kind of just want to wing it and be like, fuck this person up, because bad things will happen. Fortunately, nobody died in the house fire, but like, he did have roommates.
Oops.
Yeah. And his roommates were chill people. They didn't deserve that. They didn't deserve their house to catch on fire.
Used to hoping they all had renter's insurance.
Mm-hmm. So the next one would be a couple years later. I had an abuser that just would not leave me the fuck alone. So I hexed him using... I lived by a swamp at that point. So, like, I went to the swamp. Well, actually, it was specifically a bog because it was an acidic wetland. I used bog water in the hex, and I made a bottle. Like, it was a glass bottle that I, like, corked and, like... By the way, don't do that, because it did end up molding, because it was a... Like, there was, like, plant material in it and bog water, so there was a lot of bacteria. So it wound up molding, and then one day I'm in my bedroom and I hear this crash.
Mm-hmm.
It had exploded in the bottom of my closet where I had it. It was disgusting to clean up. However, I did find out that same day that my abuser had been arrested for something. So It did work. Just was a mess. And that is when I learned my lesson about putting hexes in glass bottles and leaving them.
No.
If you're using water at all, any kind of liquid, don't do it. Because rotting plant matter does create gas.
Or at least put it in a Tupperware. Like the bottle. Yeah. So it
put it in a Tupperware.
Mist.
Yeah, the whole bottle. Yeah. Yes. Or a box or something.
Something to catch the mess.
Something waterproof. Yes.
Make your life easier.
Make your life easier. Make the cleanup easier.
Safety.
It goes back to, like, there was a lot of broken glass and it was dirty. It was not a fun time. It was quite effective, though. Then going on to poppets. So this is the one involving a poppet. I had a friend who they broke up with their boyfriend because he was harassing them. They had like a very, very reasonable boundary in their relationship. And they broke up with him because he crossed that boundary. And then he proceeded to harass them. He kind of like walked right up to the line of doxing them, which was a big problem because they had a stalker at the time, like a violent stalker. And so by like walking right up to that line of doxing them, he was really putting them in harm's way, like a lot of danger there. So I had been toying around with it, like kind of workshopping this in my head for a while. And I just found this to be a great test of this kind of theory. Because I am that kind of person that I kind of like theorize what hexes would be possible. Because that's just who I am as a person. So I tried out this hex. I made a poppet and I stuffed it with ground beef. I also put worms in his head. By the way, did you know that in the pet aisles at a lot of stores, Walmart specifically is where I got them, I have just a bottle of dried mealworms. They're used for feeding turtles, mm-hmm. officially. I don't have any turtles though. So you can buy dried bugs at Walmart.
Good to know.
Great. Great for hexing. So I put worms in his head with the ground beef. And then in the middle of the night, I went out and I couldn't find a hammer and nails. So I took a screw and a power drill and I screwed him to a tree in the woods. This beef poppet in the middle of the fucking night. And then, you know, about 2 days later, I go check on it. Because I was checking on it basically every day. I go check on it and it was gone. There was not even like a single thread left on the screw. I couldn't find any part of it. And pretty sure that the corn demon that is down the street from me ate him. Because about a week later, he wound up with a 72-hour hold. And that's how I sent somebody to the psych ward with a hex.
The corn demon.
So corn demons are a thing. We can have me back to talk about the corn demon at some point.
Oh no, that's fine. Like, I live in the middle of a lot of corn. I'm not saying
yes,
you're wrong.
So corn demons.
I just haven't heard of this concept.
Yeah, corn demons are real.
Okay.
Feldgeisters. They're a German spirit, agricultural spirit. Yeah. So if you live in an area where there were a lot of German settlers, and it's like a high agricultural area, you probably have some field spirits.
Oh no,
there.
We do. Sorry. I live in Eastern Iowa.
Speaking of corn demons, I did at one point convince a like 14-year-old that Children of the Corn was based on a real story. This is very funny. Jay, I think you know exactly who I did.
Yeah.
Convinced.
That tracks. Yep.
But again, later, the same person came back to, like, he got out of the psych ward. He was quiet for a few months. Then he started harassing my friend again. So he also started dating somebody who was also harassing my friend. So I decided I'm going to make sure they're together forever, those two. This is an example of how you can use any spell as a hex. I hexed them with a love spell intentionally. So a lot of times love spells will have like that effect of targeted love spells, which is why we don't do them on ourselves. But if you have two toxic people who are dating, you can do a love binding on the two of them, and then they'll be toxic to each other and leave the rest of us alone. highly recommend if you have two people who are horrible together. They're horrible for each other. They're horrible to each other, but they're also just horrible people. Like, don't do this on people that, like, you just don't like, because this is a bad one. Like, it does not end well for anybody involved. I mean, obviously, I was fine. But, because they had no idea I was doing this. but, you know, you just get one of those, like, those figure candles. That's the two of them, and you tie them together. Bonus points if you can include a photo of them. Speaking of photos, tag locks, very important for hexing baneful magic, because you want to very specifically target that person. So you don't want to like just kind of
write their name. Right. Yeah, don't just write their first name on it.
Yeah, no, because you'll be hexing every John on the planet. But like, this was not that person's name. This is not the ex's name. But yeah, you want to get real specific with your tag locks. So something that's great for tag locks in witchcraft, that not necessarily has to be a baneful thing, is getting one of those instant like photo print Bluetooth phone photo printers. I've used them a lot. You know, you'll print, like, if it's somebody that you don't like know super super well, so you don't have like a real photo of them. You can use like their avatar online. I've used Discord usernames. I've gone into developer mode and taking somebody's Discord user ID number. There was one time I actually jinxed somebody with he was using his social security number. Those are great.
Oh God.
Fantastic if you can get a hold of that.
Yeah.
Don't share your social
share people. Your astrological natal chart.
Yes,
with your
that's
information.
Another one.
If you guys are gonna share your natal chart to have people try and figure shit out for you, we will always tell you
out.
Black out all your information and
yes.
Don't do it in spaces where you might have pissed somebody off. At all,
or where you don't trust everyone there, because
there are people who can reverse engineer them.
Yes, we know someone. Nike, Nike can do that.
I wasn't gonna name drop, but
I mean it's kind of a well established fact that Nike can reverse engineer a birth chart. They tend to not use their powers for evil, but just an example of that is a thing that can be done. So be very careful with your personal info online, because there are people out there that are just as devious and crafty as me, with far less morals about it.
Side note, Sif, I'm going to ask Nike if it's okay if we actually name them on that, so you may have to edit that.
Yeah, cut that out if they're not fine with that.
Yeah,
but yeah, be careful with your personal information online. Pictures are not something that, like, unless you are very specific, like the person is very knowledgeable, is gonna be like a big problem. But like your legal name, your birth date is another one that's kind of really good for I just blanked. Birth dates are good for a tag lock, for narrowing down a tag lock with like a first and last name. If you can get their birth date, Those are a good thing.
I'm trying to think what other ones I've used. Because we are in the age of Discord and a lot of us are on Discord, I actually one time used the person's Discord ID, like the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because that also leads to their IP address.
Yep. I've used that one. I have like filled people, like used somebody's, like all of their internet usernames. So like their Discord username, their Discord ID, their Twitter username. Just because like even if you don't know their person, like their actual like legal name, you do know like their kind of how what they go by online. Because it is, I mean, that is who they are as a person. Like their identity online. You can, especially if you're doing like a social thing, you can fuck up somebody in their social media by using their social media usernames.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, again, that goes to specificity. I have such an issue saying that word. So like you said, when it is something dealing with their social media, use their socials.
For sure. If they are causing problems online, on online spaces, use their online identity. But like, don't like dox people though. Don't give out their information if you find it.
Yes, please. Don't do that.
Like, some stuff that is publicly available, like their Discord username and shit, that one's fine. That's not going to be that's not doxing. But, like, don't give out people's birth charts if you stumble upon it and, like, realize that there is information, like, their personal information there. Like, their birth date and their birth location. Like, those are big problems. Like, don't give those out.
Yeah, if you find somebody's real name on Facebook, do not give it out.
Don't give it out, because guess what? That's doxing, and doxing is a crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please don't commit actual crimes in the process of hexing people, because the whole point is it's a way that you can kind of punish them in real life. Yeah.
You can get that justice without having to go mm-hmm. through legal shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes back again to just the ethics of things.
Yes.
You know, let's try other avenues before you start hexing, cursing, you know, jinxing people.
And don't do crimes. Another one is don't hex political figures.
Oh God!
They or celebrities,
right?
Yes, their public persona is an egregore, and that it's basically like a thought form deity almost.
One big one that we're seeing now is Russia. I will tell you guys this now.
Russia.
I will tell you this now. One, the idea of the Russian Empire and Russia as a country and as a culture has had so much added to it at this point. It is not just a country. It is an egregore of thousands of years of history.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a very, very, very deep-rooted culture of the occult in Russian society. So if you think that there is not a deep set of protections on Russia and the Russian Empire and the Russian culture, and yes, their government, you're sorely mistaken. And you and your friends trying to hex Russia or Vladimir Putin or anything like that, it's not going to work. In fact, it could backfire on you. So
it probably will backfire. Another one we saw a lot of a couple of years ago.
Trump.
People hexing Donald Trump. Yep. See, Donald Trump had a bigger egregore than most American politicians just because of that literal cult following he had. There were witches for Trump that were doing independently, they were doing protections on Trump, so you were going up against them. There was the egregore of that like cult, because they had elevated him to like deity status almost.
Don't forget the fact that he had the evangelical movement,
yes,
praying for him. Do not discount the power of prayer from other religions,
yes,
and other cultures. It's prayer to our deities that we believe in are just as powerful. You know, their prayers to their deity can be just as powerful. So keep that in mind.
And there's also rumors of the American government like secretly hiring occult practitioners to protect government officials. So like whether or not that one's true is debatable, but there is, Donald Trump definitely had people for sure. Like there were definitely like witches for Trump, which is disgusting to me, but still it was a thing. Just because you don't see how somebody could reconcile pagan beliefs with somebody does not mean there's not somebody who can reconcile their pagan beliefs with that. There are a lot of Nazis in heathenry, so like it should not surprise anybody that that there were occult practitioners following Donald Trump.
No, I mean, it really doesn't surprise me at all. Like, just because someone's pagan
anybody
or witchy
who
doesn't
was
mean they're liberal.
Surprised by that? Yeah. Anybody who's surprised by Donald Trump attracting Nazis and Nazis in heathenry has not been paying attention. They've been living under a fucking rock.
And even Nazis and other occult practices.
Yes.
Too. Nazis were, you know, other, more, some of the more ceremonial practices. Mm-hmm. And even like German folk practices. Again, it's always, you know, don't assume just because they're one
just
thing
because
that they
you
can't
don't see how that would work doesn't mean somebody hasn't made it happen.
Yeah.
So. Like it's not something that's like necessarily exclusive. Like you can be a like there are Wiccans who have reconciled that with the threefold law, and also like not all Wiccans follow the threefold law. So like their Wicca has the like the brain. Wicca kind of has the reputation of being like super, super soft and earth-based and all of that. It is not necessarily, though. It could be for sure. Like, not all Wicca is like the neo-eclectic Wicca you see online.
Yeah, it's not all fluffy bunny and love and light.
It is not all just cottagecore paganism.
I feel like the Wiccans with the initiatory practices are like listening to or like looking at those and being
yes.
like, ugh.
Yes, yeah. Not all Wiccans are Pinterest Wiccans. There are like Gardnerian and Alexandrian Wiccans are like, they are very, it's a very ceremonial
practice.
Those are
the ones you have to initiate into as well. Yep.
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 Yep. Hmm. Gardnerian and Alexandrian Wicca are both initiatory. So, like, be careful. So, like, it's one of those ones where it's like, don't discount somebody just because you have an idea of what their practice is.
Yeah, threefold law isn't as cut and dry.
Threefold
as they
law
want you to
is
think
not.
About.
It's also not really an officially Wiccan thing. Like it. It was a poem written decades later. So like not all Wiccans follow that.
We can go into misconceptions on certain practices definitely sound. This is what Randall. We do as we record. We just, start thinking. It's like, hole. Oh, this would rabbit be a great like, episode.
Our episode recordings like contain all of our shower thoughts or our episodes.
It's called neurodivergency.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Like, not at all.
Was having a conversation with a friend the other day. Well, we're both neurodivergent. And we were discussing the texture of something or like a noise that something would make or whatever. And I was like, oh yeah, like this texture, like, oh, it's disgusting. It makes me feel like I have Velcro fingertips. And I just like paused and looked at them and I was like, I'm definitely neurotypical. Don't look at me.
let me guess, it was microfiber.
Microfiber? That is one of them. We were actually talking about fleece. But I guess, yeah.
Some fleece is bad. Mm. Some faux fur is also very bad, and I hate it. And, like, I touch it, and I want to, like, rip all of my skin off.
And the issue with that is, like, it's not so much an issue anymore. But, like, my family is, like, they love fleece so much they could fucking marry it. Like, they have fleece everything. My sister has fleece sheets. Like, just disgusting fleece sheets. And they were like, hey, you're coming over. You want to share a bed with your sister? Like, it's a queen size bed. And I was like, does she have those fleece sheets on it? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, absolutely not. I'll sleep on the couch.
No.
But.
Best sheets I've ever found texture wise are you can go to Walmart and get jersey sheets.
Yeah.
So it's like t-shirt material. Mm. It's so nice, and also they don't slip off your bed. Okay, all the fucking time.
Yes,
but they've got a little bit of grip.
Like climbing into your freshly laundered jersey sheet bed at night. Yeah.
Mm. Especially once you washed them like a few times, so they get that old t-shirt feel.
Yeah. All right. Now that we're simping for jersey sheets,
a pacha.
Sorry.
Pacha, when the sunlight hits your ridge just right.
Yeah, that.
Yep.
Exactly. but anyway, so my family is obsessed with fleece, and they're like, and you know, a good fleece jacket is expensive. So I always am like, hey, here are like 10 options of reasonably priced things you could get me. Talk to each other and pick stuff off the list or whatever. Like,
oh, do you literally provide them an Amazon wish list and they still buy you something made of fucking fleece?
Exactly. Like, I will provide them links to the items. And I don't just provide, like, this is the exact list of what I expect. I'll give them options with price ranges. Like, you know, like, I get it. If you don't have a ton of money, you don't have it, and still want to give gifts, which a lot of people do, like, your options that are without like even like under $5 price ranges, like kind of thing where it's like, that's fine. If you really want to give me a gift, here's the thing. Just like, so I'll actually enjoy it. And they're like, we pulled together and we got you this really fleecy jacket or whatever. And I'm just like,
oh, thanks. God.
See, there are some textures that like I can deal with for a little bit. Like, I have, like curly wavy hair, and so I have a microfiber towel. I hate the way it feels. I can put up with it temporarily, like while I am drying my hair. But once it's done, once my hair is like towel dry, I'm done touching it.
And like, and it's like back to the. And it's just it's not that I don't like gifts, like gifts are cool, but like I'm kind of particular, so like I'd rather people just not give me a gift if they're gonna go.
I would rather have money.
I mean, I'd even rather just not deal with a gift I hate. Like, you don't have to give me anything.
Like, if you're gonna give me something, like, give me money, please.
Give me a box of tea that I like. It only costs $2.
Gift card.
But it's like, I'm particular, but also like I legit like touching fleece makes me want to rub my fingertips on sandpaper. I would never actually do that, but like that's how it makes me feel. So it's like, please don't give me this. It's also expensive. Like, don't spend all this time and all this money on something I'm going to loathe and never ever wear because I can't stand how it feels.
I just can't wrap my head around the idea of fleece sheets because, like, I am somebody that I struggle with, like, temperature regulation. So I have, like, 6 blankets on my bed. And that way I can, like it's like layers, mm-hmm. like wearing layers of clothing. So, like, just, that sounds so hot mm-hmm. and sweaty.
Yeah, no.
Because, like, there's no, like, there are sometimes when it is in the, like, the, like, in the winter, there are times where, like, mm-hmm. I just get too hot and I have to, like, strip down to, like, just a top sheet and, like,
Yep. You don't. Mm. Yep. She has a lighter set of fleece sheets for the summer.
Oh my god, no.
Wait, she has fleece sheets for the. Okay.
There are sets depending on the weather. Child? What are you?
No.
But yeah.
For neurodivergent people, I will tell you, a weighted blanket filled with glass beads. Those are very nice because they are quite cooling in the summer. If you have if you're under it and then you have like a fan blowing across it.
That is heaven.
The glass gets quite cool inside there.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that nice deep pressure while you're sleeping. But
because I often get too hot.
Yes.
I like honestly the combination of a glass bead filled weighted blanket and a fan I find more effective than just the fan.
Makes sense. I'm gonna go on a side note and state that I enjoy that we started this with baneful magic and hexing and whatnot and like have ended on neurodivergent how to like self-care tips.
Yeah.
Self-care is an important part of baneful magic. You wanna like, I will, after doing a particularly difficult hex, you know, after I get out of the shower, because I always shower.
It's not a bad idea
hexing,
at all.
I will literally wrap myself. No. I will always I'll sit there and like I will wrap myself in my weighted blanket to help ground me because like sometimes when I'm really tired, I can't, like, just mentally do it. Like, I need physical things, which, let me tell you, physical sensations are a great way to, like, kind of boost your grounding. When I'm doing, like, astral-type stuff, when I kind of come back to my body, I will, like, I will pat myself down because that physical touch sensation helps, like, connect me to my physical body.
Okay, so
I look like a lunatic doing it, but I do it anyway.
Who cares?
She does have feelings.
Does Millie have feelings?
Lots of them.
Millie has opinions.
All right, so I think we've covered everything we had wanted to. We want to thank you again, Verdant, for hanging out with us.
Absolutely. For anybody wondering when I'm going to be officially a weirdo, I'm adopted.
Yes, you are adopted.
I'm the adopted Irish
one. In heathenry, adoption is absolute. I guess that's more of an old culture thing. Like in old Norse heathenry, adoption is absolute. So it's how I live my life, and it's fine.
So, couple housekeeping. We have our Discord completely free. Link is in the description. So come hang out with us. Tell us what you think would be the best inconvenience hex. Like, you know, may you always step on a Lego barefoot, etc. Tell us what you think. We have a Patreon now. All those details will be down. Our Discord server is free no matter what. Do not feel like you have to join our Patreon, but we really, really do appreciate any of you who do, because making a podcast takes some time, takes some money, takes a lot of effort. Yes. And so we had to take a few weeks back, but we are really glad that you guys stuck around and waited around for us. Don't forget.
Nothing has changed in terms of my socials. I only exist on Discord.
Yes. Verdant. But Verdant, you can find them in our Discord server. They are one of our mods, actually.
Indeed. You can also find me on Nike's Discord server if you want to give them a follow, mm-hmm. too.
Yep, Nike and Yeet as well. All of those servers are linked in our Discord server under our friendly servers. So don't forget to weave the connection between the like, subscribe, and notifications. And remember to keep heathenry weird.
Yay, we did it.
Yay.